Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Akakande Wakandepwe, also known as Aka. Again, I think this is always going to be the coolest thing we will all listen to on this podcast. So welcome, everybody. I am always excited to be back with another episode, with another guest. And today is kind of special because we get into something done local and very innovative. And I'm always passionate about this specific topic because I think that there's a gap in this particular industry. And today we're going to be talking about education. Right, I'm always thinking there's so much we can do in the education industry. I, for one, own an edtech company, so it's such a space that has so much we can do. And this particular person is really thinking outside the box, and I'm really excited to learn more about her work and just the things that she is working on and what to look forward to. So grab your water, grab your tea, because it's winter. And yeah, join us for this catching, interesting, and intriguing conversation. Today's guest is Kushu. Hi, Kushu.
Hi, Aka.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm well. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So when you look back to your life, how best can you introduce yourself?
I am a mother of three. My background is education, obviously. I have a passion for education, but I always want to try out new things. So I don't like to have myself glued to the seat and the chalkboard. So yeah, I love to have fun in so many different ways. I love to try out creative stuff. I'm a creative, and yeah, basically that.
When you talk about your background in education, what does that actually mean?
So most of the work I've done is in education. So I started out as an early childhood teacher. I worked for several private schools and international schools around the country. And so at some point, I think in my life, I was doing a lot of moving from city to city, and I got to a point where I could not really keep a job because I would start work and then resign because I had to move town. So I thought of doing something still around the education industry, but something that does not keep me in a classroom setup. Yeah, so I decided to start up the EduPack solution so I could continue working at schools, but on a more maybe at consultant level. Yes, but I provide potential difference to schools, also based off of my experience in working in schools, the gaps that I hit or noticed and thought I could make a difference in filling those gaps and bringing something to the table in that regard. Yeah.
Okay. I think one thing I would love about this conversation is I'm very passionate about education. I think even most of my work, I'm always talking about the gaps that are in education, specifically in Zambia, because I think that we're not having an honest conversation about our education system. at all sectors and all grades. There's so much going on in Zambia and just the world at large, and our education system doesn't reflect the current changes that are happening. And what that translates is the job sector as well might reflect what's actually happening in what the current market trends are, but then they are also failing to influence the education system. So with your experience, what are some of the gaps you've noticed in the education sector?
Okay. So because I've worked mostly with private international schools, but then I've also had interactions with colleagues in the public schools. So I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done, say, in the public schools for us to get to the level that we need to be at in as far as education is concerned. On the private and international side, I think there's a lot of progress, moving with the current, adapting to the new normal, the new trends in education. So I might focus maybe more on the public side. So we've noticed that from the time COVID hit, I think a lot changed in the education industry. So when COVID hit, there was that's when a lot was exposed in terms of gaps. Schools were trying out a lot to see how best we could cope in that crisis. So for the public schools, there was little to nothing for some areas that was done to make sure the learners were still learning amidst the confusion or the crisis that we're facing. So in the privates and in the international schools, there was a transition. So they moved to, and focused more on the digital side of things. So there was a lot of online learning, just make sure learners are moving in the right direction at the right time, despite everything else that was happening. But then for the public schools, the government schools, that was a challenge. And I think up to now, it's still a challenge, because I don't think a lot of government schools have been equipped fully with the right tools to fit into the digital world, the now trending digital world. So the gaps lie more on the public schools. Well, some private schools are still, are yet to get to where they're supposed to be. But in terms of making it their international schools, I think have transitioned. We can safely say they've transitioned. So a lot of gaps in terms of learning, making sure the learners are equipped with the right tools, and moving with the current, and just being up to date with everything. Those are the gaps that were exposed during that time and still being dealt with up to now.
Do you think, in terms of the education system in Zambia, we're on the right track?
We are on the right track, though might be moving at snail's pace, but we are on the right track. We're getting there. Yeah.
So I always like to give this analogy, right? I always say that one of the reasons why we'll always be decades behind certain countries, unfortunately, we always have to compare, right? But one of the reasons why we're always going to be decades behind certain countries is because we do not have our essential things in place. So, for example, the road system in Zambia, right? We do not have roads everywhere in Zambia. So we have the road system, we have education, we also have hospitals. Like, those are like the, if every district and every village in Zambia had a proper road system, had a proper school and had a clinic or a hospital in it, that would mean we have the essential things. Like, those are like our basic need as a nation, right? Like, those are basic stuff. So it means also we will move away from always hearing campaign promises about, we're going to build you more roads, we're going to build you schools, we're going to build you hospitals. So even the tone and conversations we start having as a country change. They change in the terms that now we start talking about, hey, we need infrastructure that can be able for us to have technologies like artificial intelligence in the country, or we need to have this for this to work. So now in terms of the education part of everything as an essential tool, what do you think will happen to us now that we have AI running and doing its thing? Like, do you think we can grow, we have a chance to grow at a fast pace as well, or we still have to still get the basics in place?
I know the introduction of AI to this part of the world, of to the world over, has come with its own threats. No way we feel people will not have their jobs anymore, because I mean, AI is there to do everything. So, but in the education world also, we're thinking, what will a teacher be doing in front of a classroom delivering when there's AI? And you know, learners can just be on their gadgets and learn everything that they need to learn. And but then, like I said, only a few organizations or schools are privileged to have that, and not everyone else. So when it comes to international private schools, they are moving in that direction. Others are already using AI in colleges and universities. I think AI is being used in delivery, and also students are using that in their research work and whatnot. But then when it comes to our public schools, our government schools, we still have a long way to get there, because we have our schools, say, in the rural areas that might not even have the privilege of, you know, being connected to electricity. And they don't have good network coverage. So how then are all these gadgets going to be used to make them come on boards and then learn the new trends in technology and speaking of AI? So it's we still have a long way. So we have like two streams in education. We have the private and international schools moving at their own pace, achieving their goals. And we've got our public governments with dragging behind. And we don't know at what point we're going to get to a point where we can safely say everyone is exposed to the new trends through AI, and our learners in the rural sector areas know how to make use of AI. So,
I like that you have you keep emphasizing and breaking down and distinguishing the two streams, right? We have private schools, a private also has international schools, and we have public schools that are sponsored and run by the government of Zambia, right? And I think that that's very good to emphasize, because when you think about those two streams, even the private stream has another stream to it, or probably I think it has like three categories. It has the international school, which is like for the elites. They get the best education in Zambia, and they also get exposed to the best tools. We have the middle one, which is fairly okay, but it's not at the international level. Also, I'm also thinking price range as well. Then we have like the basic private school as well, that it's a private school, but it's not very efficient, or sometimes it's by name that it's a private school. I don't know if you mean, I don't know if you get what I mean.
No, I do.
Yes, and government school is just a government school.
Yes.
It's just a government school. Some have good, have sponsored well, but fairly, government school is just a government school. And that would be at secondary and primary level. At tertiary as well, all the schools will probably still be divided into two parts, and the private will still be subdivided again. And actually, most of the elites actually don't go to schools in Zambia. So even the type of education we get is very different. So for a more ordinary child in Zambia, apart from, now I'm speaking in the sense of someone who's just going to a public school. So apart from them getting the basic education from the government, what else would you encourage them to do to just upskill their skill sets? And what skill sets should they be looking out to learn?
So, first, they need to be exposed to technology. So an average, you talked of an average child in Zambia, right? So they need exposure to technology. So how do they get exposed to technology? Because that's the direction the world is moving. Everything is just and digitalized and everything. So first, one needs to be exposed to technology. Again, that also depends on where they're at that time. How are they going to be exposed to technology? So looking at the different areas that they live in, I mean, everyone has a phone, you know, for communication, but not everyone has the privilege to have a smartphone. So when we focus, say, on the rural side, everyone has a phone just for basic communication, but not smartphones. A few do have, I mean, will have smartphones, but do they know how to utilize their smartphones to full potential, right? And how to access whatever information that they need in regards to technology, I mean, education. So in this case, I look forward to, I mean, I've heard of the tech world, is it the Ministry of Information? They've set up hubs. I'm not sure what they call them, but they're like internet.
Yeah, I think I know. I've forgotten the names of the hubs, but they have set up hubs somewhere.
Yeah, so they've set up in different rural areas.
In different rural areas. Mm.
So they set up, I think they're given to certain individuals, organizations to run. So they're solar powered. So people that need internet services and whatnot can go to those hubs. I just don't know how they run them and how they regulate like the flow of traffic there. So if governments can also focus on the education industry and introducing such hubs into rural areas. So every rural area can have an education hub. How they power it can be solar powered or otherwise. Put gadgets there, tablets, laptops, and see how best learners can be helped in these areas and get exposed to technology and the digital world. So everyone moves together You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of potential out there.
Yeah.
Which is just left to waste. There's a lot of potential that needs pushed for. So if we can have that, then we can have learners exposed to that. But even learners in the rurals who one day find them these colleges and universities where there's now the use of technology, and someone has to start from scratch because what is this? I've never heard it before. How do I navigate through this? How do I know what I mean? So there's need to start from the roots to expose everyone to what's important. But as they get to tertiary education, they already have the basic knowledge. The youth was living in the tech world. Yeah, so it's basically exposure, like deliberate exposure to tech.
So you were talking about the hubs, and I actually found them. I love technology. So they are called the Zayo Hubs. Their mission is to build sustainable livelihoods in the poorest and most remote region in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah, so Zayo Hub works with the most remote and marginalized rural communities in Zambia. We use Zambian skills and knowledge to transform and create sustainable communities. No, I don't think this is the one. this feels like something different. But also Google says they have created the H hubs. I don't know, but yes, I do think you're right. There are a few. I have Googled, and it seems like there are a few hubs that are being created in rural communities, and I actually did not know. So I'm actually going to Google more about that. Or I'm going to ask people in that sector to just see what's going on. But I think it's a very good idea. Again, we need to have more people learning about even just how to the basic use of a computer, or just even being able to see a computer, to see lights, to see power. Us who stay in urban areas, we take this for granted, you know.
Yeah.
And we take it so for granted. I am thinking everybody knows what I know. And I am reminded, like, no, Aka, not everybody knows what you know. And sometimes the flow of information is very different. A lot of stuff are really harbored in Lusaka. Yeah, we know it's a capital city, so it's everything is in Lusaka. Sometimes you don't even really need to go to, like, the rural areas. Just go to some of the towns. That's you have the basic stuff. And you'd be surprised the type of information we have who are from here and what type of information they have and how they see life. Like, it's very different, to be honest, which is very sad because they still have the basic stuff and still not utilizing them to their full potential.
Yeah, and when it comes to education, it's just clear that no one. There's a gifted child somewhere in the rural who's just, you know, stuck because they can only do so much.
Yeah.
So we need to step up, especially as government, to invest more in the education industry.
When we started this conversation, you mentioned that your career started as an early childhood teacher.
Yes.
For lack of better terms, yes. And you moved to this other side where you did not want to be boxed in just in a classroom, and you wanted to have a more consulting role but also seeing education on the other side. And the good thing is, so it seems you have worked more with private institutions and also have colleagues in the private, in the public sector.
Yeah.
When you were transitioning to a classroom in a more consulting role, just break it down, what brought about that decision?
Okay, so like I mentioned earlier, so I was moving about a lot. So my family was, you know, changing towns every now and then. So it became hard for me to keep a job. And because then I had small kids, my children were small. And yeah, so I could not, you know, live in a different place as my kids. So I'd always put my tools down and move. So I noticed that I could not really keep a job, but then I needed to keep myself busy, you know, keep myself going. So I thought of what I could do with my experience, my skills, my education. So the first thing that I did was I consulted with a certain school in Chingola. So I gave them a proposal to do a yearbook for them. So this is from the experience I had, or I got from my previous jobs at an international school. So I talked them into, you know, doing a yearbook for their school. They loved the idea and they quickly came on board. So we worked together on this project. We published a yearbook for them. They loved it. But by the time I was just getting done with that yearbook, we had to move town again. So moved to another town in the Copper Belt. So I continued. I did another consultancy with a particular school there. I did a yearbook for them. They loved it. And again, by the time it was being published, we had already moved back to Lusaka. So I remember putting the magazines on a courier to Kitwe. So I noticed, wow, there was potential in what I was doing. It was a good initiative, and I was finding myself in what I was doing. I loved it. I was comfortable. So I thought, well, let me grow this business. So let me formalize it. So when we got back to Lusaka, I registered the business. The business is called AgioPack Solutions. So ideally providing solutions to the education industry. So that's where the name was derived from. So I registered the business and did a few supplies. So because I do supply you know, educational material from stationery, uniforms, anything that you can think of, logistics and other things, you know, events management in the education industry. So a few years later, I think COVID hit. So there was chaos in the education, in the schools that my kids were going to, you know, would drive out of the house, go to the school to collect work packs. So the schools would prepare work packs, you know, for the week, you collect, you bring home, you become teachers. And I mean, not everyone is a teacher. So other parents were forced to start teaching children. And if you don't have the skills, I mean, there's a reason we go to college or university to learn, you know, skills to teach. So, yeah, so there was chaos and whatnot. So at that point, schools needed to assure their clientele that they were still in business. Because I think some schools just went under. They could not manage. So I remember at that time, I approached Belbab College. So they needed to do some marketing to just show that they were still there and they had everything in place to carry out, so carry on with learning despite the crisis. So we did a marketing campaign, me and my team, for Belbert College. So we ran a social media campaign for them. It was called, it was themed Be Resilient. So when you go to social media, under Belbert, Be Resilient, it will, a few things will pop up around that. And then a year after that, we're still doing the online education. You know, businesses were still closed down or running under, you know, strict regulations. So we also consulted with Lusaka International Community School, or LICS. So we did another marketing campaign for them. So theirs was themed, so we did another marketing campaign for them. So we're around social media, simply assuring their clientele and potential clients that they were still in business and they were still offering the best education despite the times that we're living in. For some time, I thought, well, I think bringing schools together in one place where you can market at the same time would also be a brilliant idea. So why not do an expo for all the schools, international, private, and a few public schools, and just showcase what they have to offer and all that. Yeah. So that's how I transitioned from classroom setup to offering consultancy.
What I love about this is that you actually tested out your idea. It might have come about through circumstance, like give your kids were pretty young, and you did prefer to be closer to your family, but also you tested it out at different schools and then realized to say, oh, there's actually potential, and backed by data and backed by other clients, slowly you ended up building your company. I think it's not the stories we hear on most times. I think on most times, I always say this to people. People expect us to tell them how we dreamt about our businesses and how it fit into place. But I like your story because it really shows growth and the times you were in and you choosing to stay on your path and still finding something to do wherever you are, which is something really, honestly, if anyone takes away anything, it just shows that you can really test your idea or your business in different ways before you can actually commit to it. Because now you're seeing all the different potentials, the different things you're doing. Yeah, no, I really like that. It's something we need to have more conversations about that, honestly.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something to do with after working with the individual schools, you realized that you could also bring these schools together and have one event, which could be an education expo where the schools showcase what they're offering and this and that. So tell me more about the expo. I know you are having an event on the 16th of August. So, yeah, tell me more about the expo. Break it down for us and lay it out on what we should expect and how it's going to turn out. And is it your first expo or you've done it before?
So this is our pilot project. So, first ever expo in Zambia where you have all schools
We have a few expos that just have maybe 3-4 international schools. But this one is open to all. So, like you said, it's scheduled to take place on the 16th of August at the Piazza, Ispamo, Lusaka. So it's going to run from 9 hours to 16:30 hours. So we have different schools signing up, come and exhibit. So this is from your kindergartens to the highest education, learning education systems in the country. So your universities will be exhibiting as well. So apart from schools, of course, I mean, schools will come to showcase their offerings and also target their clientele, because this expo now is open to the public. So it's free entry. Anyone can just walk in at any time between 9 hours and 16:30, take a walk around the different stands, look for education that's, I mean, for parents, look for schools that offer the type of education that you need for your child. I mean, we have children with different education needs, and yeah, but then when we are in our spaces or corners, we don't really know who's offering what. We don't know where to go, and you can't just, you know, get up and take a drive around the city to find that school. But this is your chance to just come under one roof, walk around the stands and see what's being offered by the different schools around the city. And this is also open to schools outside of Lusaka. We've got schools that offer boarding facilities. So parents that are looking for the best boarding school for their children, this is your chance to come shop around, you know, in a nice environment. You have, you know, good music playing, some entertainment, food is going to be sold there. If you come with your kids, they'll be entertained. You shop around schools together. And then, yeah, we also have corporates that are going to be exhibiting at the same event. So when we say corporates, we're looking at financial institutions, we're looking at insurance companies, we're looking at companies that sell uniforms, companies that offer, you know, learning material, and also small businesses that offer, you know, skills training, you know, extracurricular activities that you can just organize privately away from the school. Like, everything will be at the expo. So, yes. So that's what we are looking and working at. Yeah.
So you said this is first in Zambia. Are you excited? I think it's now coming into place. It's very busy. I think it's probably one of your busy period, right? You are like about 35 days to the actual event. How do you feel about all this coming into place, the vendors, the institutions, the sponsors, and as we are looking forward to bringing our kids? I'm probably going to bring my sister. How do you feel? How does the team feel just putting this together? Is it exciting? Are the nerves about to start kicking in?
Well, you can't run away from nerves kicking, but we're excited. I think we're more excited than nervous or anxious. We're excited to have all our business partners on board. We've been talking to different corporates that have really, really nice packages and offerings, you know, for schools and families and students. So I know we've got our young adults that just finished school. They don't really know what next or where next to go. So this will be a chance for you to come shop around the universities, like UNICA, you know, that that offer different packages. So this will be your chance to see how best you can, you know, plan your future. We're excited to see, you know, schools exhibit next to each other, yet offer different, you know, different offerings to the potential clients and clientele. So some schools will even be carrying out enrollments. So you can actually walk in, find the school, and have your child enrolled at that same event.
Yeah.
For other institutions, like financial institutions, we have a few that have products that assist families or parents, you know, to manage, you know, school fees and whatnot. They can do the signing up right there at the event, get a facility to ease off pressure, you know, manage your school fees in such a way that, you know, you manage your mental health as well. You're not stressing about, oh, where am I going to get my school fees tomorrow? So it will be very exciting to see all that happen in that day, and we're excited to do the countdown. So we're still open. There's a lot of slots up for grabs for anyone that would love to exhibit. So we want everyone to come on board.
And if people want to exhibit, could you just tell us at the back of your mind the categories and the average prices and what people should expect, and where they can reach you if they want to be part of the exhibitors?
Okay, so our packages, I'll start with the lowest. So I've got the general vending package. So for general vendors, we're targeting, you know, people that offer, you know, private lessons, say for swimming, ballet, dancing, and, you know, other extracurricular activities that maybe schools don't offer. Some schools don't offer, but then you can have them privately. So for those general vendors, those who offer transportation, you know, what do you call it? Pickups and drop-offs for schools, those who do food, because obviously we have people there spending hours there, so food will be sold there. So small vendors like that, their package is 1,500 for a stand. So there's going to be a section for that. And then we move on to schools. Schools have their own package. So we have a silver package, we have a gold package, and we have a platinum package. So the piazza will be sectioned. So each section will have its own rate. So if, depending on what sort of visibility you want, and also depending on your budget, but at the end of the day, everyone will be seen. Yeah. So for schools, we have stands under gold, I mean, under silver, going for 3,500 per stand. So you are at liberty to pay for one stand or two stands or more. Then we have this gold package going for 5,000 kwacha per stand. And then we have a platinum package going for 7,500 per stand. So a map is provided, so you have an idea. This will picture the setup, and it will help you choose where you want to be located. And then for corporates, we have we also have the gold, the silver, gold, and platinum packages. So for corporates, we have the silver going for 5,000 kwacha, and we have your gold going for 10,000 kwacha, and platinum is up for grabs at 15,000 kwacha only. So if you're a corporate and you have the package that you'd want to promote and sell to our clientele, you can please get in touch. And then we've got sponsorship packages. So if you want to sponsor the event, of course that has its own advantages. The branding, you have your new logos on our branding material, and you get to do a note you know, keynote speaking. You know, you get the front row, you know, advantage or privilege. So if you want to sponsor this event, we've got three packages for sponsorship. So for this, you can get in touch with us and we'll give you all the details under this. So we've got our social media pages active. We're on Facebook and Instagram. And our handles are Edupac Solutions Zambia. That's where we're posting all the relevant information pertaining to the events. Yes. So our numbers are on the page. You can get in touch. Phone number, email address, everything is on the page when you go to our social media pages.
Thank you so much. That was very detailed. And I hope anyone listening that is interested, if you're a vendor, an institution, a sponsor, please reach out. We will be very excited to see you. I will be there, of course. We will be very excited to see you. Oh, I love anything to do with education. So I am dipping my toes into this. And I'm very grateful that I will be there. So please join us and we will all learn more about the education system and the different organizations and schools that offer those services and how they can best help you. Or sometimes you can just come and see. It could be good for you. Awareness is very important.
Yeah. Even for people that are planning family.
Yes.
You might not have a child yet, but then you're planning on that. So you need to plan ahead. You need to know, oh, when I have my child, which school do I want them to go to? So all that information will be accessible on that day. You shop around, you go around, and yeah, compare notes and find what best suits you, what best suits your family and your lifestyle.
I think that was very comprehensive, so I won't add more. I want to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Okay, Aka. Well, oh, so do you have a family? Do you have children?
No, I don't have a family. I'm too young for that.
So my last notes. My last notes are also directed at you, right? So you can also just do your shopping and see what you want, what you would love for your future. Yeah.
Yes. So I don't have a family, but I do have my sister who I'm very intentional about her education, and my nephew. Also very intentional about his education. So those are the two people that I have integrated myself, that I am responsible for their education. So I'm also, I'm very intentional about their education. So for me is, because I'm already in the system, I do a lot of education shopping. I think I just opened my sister's trust fund for school. Yeah, with my bank. And it's a big move for me. I've been wanting to do it for 2 years. I finally got to do it, so I'm very excited. I'm also going to do that for my nephew. Yeah, so I do a lot of shopping. I do a lot of education shopping because of the two. Like I always have to be very aware and I like to plan. So I plan my life around my two little human beings. And make sure I do have, I always think as long as we can cover education and plan it, we should be good.
I love the idea of a trust fund, and I think a lot of parents would love to be exposed to information around that. So why don't you bring your bank on board? Whisper to your bank that there's an opportunity to sell this product. So looking forward to seeing your bank there.
Well, I will ask somebody. I know somebody. So when we're having this conversation, I'm texting people I know. I'm like, okay, so have you heard this is happening? Maybe you should be there.
Yeah.
But yes, because I hear words like, we hear a lot of words like trust funds when we watch TV or the Western world, right? And even when I have kids and when I have other kids in my life that are very close to me, I think my gift to them will be a trust fund, right?
Great.
I think if we were, I have a business, right? And I don't have capital. Imagine if my family, my parents, so they did take me to private schools. Thank God. They've spent so much money on my education. But if I had that option where they said, okay, you've gone to school, but here is some money. We put money aside for you to help you start up your life, to help you with your career, or to help you set up a business. I think it's a very good option. And you'd be surprised how it's not expensive to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to be very rich to do it.
No, no, you don't. It's just
the discipline. You just have to start.
Yeah. And be disciplined about it.
Yes So I think that's why I'm doing the trust fund for the kids, because if we can still afford to pay for the education and we don't use the trust fund, that's okay. But if at 25 they don't want to be an employee and they want to start a business, hey, now here's money. I saved money for you to be able to do this. Here it is. I think that is something I'm grateful for, and it's something I'm planning around, and when I have kids I'll do that for them too. I think it's just it makes the thing lighter even for the other person.
It gives you sleep at night.
Pardon?
Gives you sleep at night.
Yes, it gives you sleep at night, and again, it's not even expensive. You'd be surprised. You can very, it's the most basic thing, and it's actually money we use every day. So, on my end, I'm just like, this is money I use every day. I might as well do it. And so I have two babies and very intentional about their education, even just securing the money side of their life. Slowly, but they will have options. So I'm just glad I'm glad I got to, I can do that for them.
Good job.
Thank you.
Bye.
Was that your question?
No, I have another question. If you allow me to ask.
Oh, please go on.
So how do you find your job? Like what we're doing right now, what really drew you to this? Like, because you're so passionate about it. You sound like you really, really enjoy what you do. So what drew you to this, and what keeps you going? You know, you might give encouragement to someone who thinks they don't really have it, but then they have it. Yeah.
So when it comes to me, I never felt like I was the most book smart kid in school. And I had a lot with the education system. Even when I was at tertiary education, my university was really one of the best universities in Zambia, right? Which is the University of Lusaka. So I really struggled to fit in, because there's like a box that we're all supposed to fit in the education system in Zambia. Like, we're all supposed to be smart or dumb. Like, it's either you're an A student or you're not. You know what I mean? So even when you're interacting with your teachers, your lecturers, everybody is really put in that box. And one thing I realized is it takes me a while to grasp concepts. Like, it really takes me a while. Numbers came easy, but just to understand a few stuff took me a while because I had ADHD. So because our education system doesn't cater for all learners, I am a slow learner, right? But I went to schools to compete with people that are fast at learning, fast at grasping things at once. I need to read something 10 times. I need I need to read it differently. I need to listen to an audio. Like, I need to write an exercise for me to understand one concept properly. So because of that, I've always been at odds with the education system. And also that drew me to really be intentional about building my personal development, building different skill sets to just complement what I'm doing, because I already knew I really can't succeed in life the traditional way or the conventional way. Everybody's doing it. Like, I could be an A student. I'm pretty smart. I just learn slowly, right? I could be, but it would take so much effort compared to others. So for me, things that come easy are numbers, and everything else came with so much effort, and which is also not, sometimes not even worth it. So when I decided that I would go this direction of starting my own business and talking about education and talking about how I've been very unconventional about my education and talking about some of the things we could do better and traveling, I started to do stuff like volunteering. So I needed to do more hands-on skills to learn and make myself different. It also took me a while to come to peace and be at a place with the education system where we're like coexisting, and I'm not fighting the system as much. I'm really just trying to support it and complement it because I know it's a system I'm from. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's mostly my childhood, where I am, and also just thinking about other people that learn differently, and also teaching people that, hey, you can be very unconventional about what you want to do. You don't have to follow my path of starting a business, but you can be very, you can do something very different, to be honest, and you'll be very successful at it. You don't have to be an A student. You can really utilize your environment and find ways of standing out that don't have to do with grades, because in the end, when you graduate, everybody will have a paper. It doesn't matter that I don't get a distinction or a merit or a credit. If I could just silently pass. After university or after high school, a lot of people will be looking to see what else did you learn? What other skills did you learn? And I think over my years of me just being, I accumulated really different skill sets that I am using now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I use a lot of my skill sets. I'm really exposed. I'm really outspoken. And I'm very comfortable with where I'm at as a person. That's a message I want to send to people my age, to people coming after me, to everybody else, even those that are already working, is you really need to take personal development personal. Like, that's your personal responsibility. Yes, the world might owe you something, but what do you owe yourself first? Because we can't give you something you're not ready to receive. So that's why I'm like very passionate about it. It's, I have seen what it has done for me. I have seen places it has taken me. And I'm also just trying to help people reach that, but also in the sense of, you really have to take responsibility. And that's why it's personal development. You are responsible for developing yourself. None of us really care. And actually believe no one really cares if you do it or not. So it's, yeah. So that's why. That's why I'm very passionate about it. And I know it has so much potential in Zambia and Africa. And also I'm passionate about bringing some of the tools other countries are using to Zambia and Africa. I know we're still behind. That doesn't mean individuals can't take the responsibility to do it themselves. I'm more of about an individual person. I'm like, okay, yeah, the government won't do it, but you have access to this stuff. Why don't you do it for yourself? You know? So what if 50,000 people take responsibility of their lives? Would be a better country, to be honest. So yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice. I'm encouraged.
Thank you.
And like I said, you're not alone. I could see myself in the plane. Yeah. So you're not alone, and I know there are a lot of others that have similar, you know, kind of background and personalities, and they struggle, you know, look down on themselves thinking, well, I can't be like them, so I can't be anything. So yeah, nice words, very encouraging. And I hope, like you said, someone out there is encouraged today to just step up and be them and do so much with who they are. And I think that's my style too. You know, I always just want to tap into what I have and make the most of it.
Yeah.
And not compete with the world out there. But realize your relevance and utilize it.
Before we close up, there's a concept I want you to think about, which is called Worthy Rivals. I don't know if you're familiar with Samuel Sinek's work, right? So instead of thinking people as your competitions, they become your worthy rivals. Your worthy rivals are people that are doing similar work that you're doing, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. The work is complementing your work. So maybe let me try to compare the two of us, right?
Okay.
You are in the education system, you have a track record, you were a teacher, you have experience, you have the data to prove what things are doing. And mm-hmm. I'm just Aka. I am an accounting graduate. I have an idea of what I think the education system should look like. And I'm building my data as I go, but I like it more relaxed, and I like to focus on the personal side of the education system, encouraging people to invest in themselves and take responsibility of their education, because education could mean a lot of stuff, right? And you are more on empowering organizations, bringing awareness, bringing everybody together, connecting them. In other sense, when you put those things together, hypothetically, right? We could look like competitors, right? We could look like competitors. You have experience. You've been doing this for years. I also now have accumulated some experience. So when you put us at par value and for the world to judge, it would look like we are competitors. And if we did not know each other, would also feel like, what? Competitors. But then maybe I'm just your worthy rival, or you're my worthy rival. You complement what I am doing, or you're doing what I'm doing differently. So that could trigger some sort of insecurity in me. Like if I hear anybody speak about you, that type of thing, I'd be like, oh my goodness, this girl is being talked about more than me. And if you go to an event, I'm like, oh, Kusha, you should actually reach out to Aka. Aka does this and that. And when I go someone like, Aka, you should reach out to Kusha. She does this and that. And would be thinking, hey, we're in competition. We're doing things opposite. We all want to have our own. Would thinking we all have to stand first place. But then our work actually just complements, and it's just the opposite, but maybe trying to reach the same thing. So it's a really good concept. The worthy rival one, and when you look at when you look at a lot of people, when you look at a lot of work that way, just I think it, yeah, it makes it a lot of very better, and yeah, it's really good. And some of Sinek's work is amazing.
Yes, and I think also realizing that we could actually collaborate.
Yeah.
And do something together, you know, drive something. I mean, I've done that before on my previous projects, where I pick someone from a different industry, but then because I needed their skills to do my project. So I bring them on board, they do their parts, they get paid, and they go. And our project has, you know, been pushed forward. So it's also good to just see how best you can utilize your competitor, like you said, and collaborate and push a vision ahead.
You can go far alone, but if you want to go further, you have to carry people. I do not know whose quote is that, but I always like it a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And that's me without teamwork. Like you said, you're doomed. Okay, you're doomed. Like for this expo that we're doing, it has been vision. Okay. I'd always wanted to do it, like from the time I started putting my business together. But then I was the only one that understood what I wanted to do. But then I could not, you know, do it alone. So it had to take, you know, approaching a few people, you know, bringing them on board. Can you do this with me? Do you understand the concept? Okay. And I approached so many that just could not get it. But then I found a person that understood the concept, and that's what I was looking for. Someone who understands, and they know, and they put in their work and passion. Because I think passion is very important as you do anything. If you don't have a passion and you just want to do it for the money, I don't think there's any fun in that. So passion should drive me first. So it takes a team.
I definitely agree that it takes a team, it takes a village to get to where you are. And I think that's also like one of the best ways to kind of come to the conclusion. And I just want to ask you this last question, which is, what do you look forward to?
In what sense?
In general. Just in general, you could look forward to the expo day coming to close and you just concluding and celebrating that win. Look forward to different stuff.
With regards to the expo, of course, looking forward to this expo taking place, happening, being a success, and then doing more expos, because like I said, this is our first and not last, you know. So we plan on having these expos annually, and we'll have our setups done differently each year. So I look forward to a successful launch of the EduConnect Expo and its longevity. Yeah.
Great. It's been great having you. I loved how detailed we went into this. I've been looking to have a conversation with somebody in the education sector that understands and has the experience. And honestly, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on board, for sharing your time, and also just being here. Again, I think I'm very grateful that we got to do this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Akka, for having me on your podcast. It's been such a delight. Thank you for the opportunity, you know, you've given me to talk about the expo and the business in general. And I look forward to more interviews with you.
Me too. And for everybody listening, if you want to learn more about the expo, EduPark, we're going to put it in the bio of this episode, so you could actually also learn about their work, reach out to them, and see how best you could partner, collaborate with them. They're doing the Lord's work, especially in Zambia. And follow, like, and we really can't wait to see you if you're in Zambia, Lusaka specifically. We can't wait to see you at the expo on the 16th of August. So see you there. All for now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Akka.
Bye.